On today's show, we break down some of the topics that Stephen Silas brought up in his exclusive hour-long interview with Matt Thomas of Sports Talk 790, one of the voices of your Houston Rockets. We'll tackle some topics brought up, including lineups, who the projected fifth starter should be between Jayshon Tate and Eric Gordon, as well as what constitutes a good year for Stephen Silas this season. We'll do all of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Joining us now for his once weekly appearance here at Locked On Rockets is, of course, none other than Alikant Bajani, the X's and O's man himself. And today we're going to kind of deviate away a little bit. We've been doing these deep dives on the players from Rocket Summer League. We started with Jabari Smith Jr. Then we went into Tari Eason. Today we're going to pump the brakes a little bit on that. We will revisit Dacian Nix, Ty Washington, the battle for the backup point guard spot, if you will. We're going to touch base on those guys a little bit further in the future. But for today, we want to focus on Stephen Silas primarily here, probably in these first couple segments, as well as maybe some takeaways from the brief footage that we've seen of Jalen Green, Josh Christopher, the guys kind of playing pickup. And even though we're not going to overanalyze, like, you know, pro-am footage, pickup game footage, we have some takeaways that we want to share from those. Alikant, are you excited to talk about Stephen Silas?
What an awful question. Man.
I know, right? Like, I teed you up in the worst way possible. That was masterful on my behalf.
I think, you know, it's been a while since we heard from Steven, right? So I think it's good for us to be able to kind of get his thoughts on what's going on from the summer. I will tell you, and he mentioned that in the interview you talked about with Matt, there's so many players that's pretty much spent the whole summer in here in Houston. And I know Rockets fans know because they've seen other players live their summers or live during the year in Houston, even while they're playing or while they're retiring. Houston's a good city to live. And so the fact that the team and these players want to be here over the summer, you know, that's a good sign for you as you're having a young group, you know, grow together, led by John Lucas and the stuff that he's been doing with this team over the summer. So a lot of really interesting things that Stephen Silas talked about. But Jackson, why don't you start? What was something really interesting that you heard from him during that 1 hour interview that he did with Matt Thomas?
Well, yeah, and I think that's I did a terrible job of teasing this up, but that's what we're kind of referencing here is Stephen Silas actually sat down, did a, you know, basically an hour long interview with Matt Thomas, one of the voices of the Houston Rockets, on his show, The Matt Thomas Show. It airs Monday through Friday, every day of the week, from 12 to 3 p.m. CST. Matt, an amazing individual, his co-host Ross Villarreal, two great guys, you know, love, you know, being able to interact with him, work with them whenever I get the chance to. Used to work with them when I was at 790 myself. But the biggest takeaway for me, Alikant, was, you know, during this interview, I had to go back and watch it after the fact, right? You know, I didn't get a chance to tune into it live. But there was a moment from this hour-long kind of, you know, sit down with Stephen Silas where they talked about what the four or five positions would look like this year for the Houston Rockets. And somebody actually aggregated that little bit live during the show and made it seem as if, you know, Stephen Silas, you know, was insinuating that Jayshon Tate was going to be the starting three moving forward. And I wanted to wait before I gave my commentary on that because I wanted to hear the clip for myself and really see what Stephen had to say. So we're actually going to run that segment of the show back really quickly and then talk about it.
Is the 4 and 5 going to look like for you this year, do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be Alpi and Jabari and JT. And those three guys kind of mixed and matched initially, and then we also have Usman and Boban and Bruno, who's back, some fives. And then we also have KJ and Tari. So that we got a bunch of guys at the four and five who we can kind of mix and match. But
so that's the clip that and that's the thing that I really want to focus on here. First and foremost, is because to me, Alikhan, that does not sound like a straight up endorsement of, oh, Jayshon Tate's the starting three, specifically because the way Matt Thomas asked the question, which if you're interested in listening to the whole interview, you can go check it out. They always post the podcasts after the fact, especially with big guests like Steven Silas. I'll put a link to the full episode in the description for this episode, so you can go check it out yourself if you're interested. That kind of sounded like they were planning to rotate in Jayshon Tate as a four and obviously some small ball five, maybe the way that Steven kind of lumped him in with all the other supposed bigs on the roster. And for at least from the jump, Alikhan, I'm really not looking forward to that. I was hoping that this year would be the year that Jayshon Tate would realistically get to play his more natural position on the wing rather than playing that undersized four position.
I think it's interesting. I think it has to do more with his shot. And I know he's working on it, and my colleague and good friend Kelly Eco has talked about in his articles how Jayshon looks great from the corners. Jayshon is working. I mean, he looks great in terms of his body, in terms of shot. Everything looks good, you know, going into the season, going to training camp here in a few weeks. But there's something that Steven said in the beginning of the show, and that was particularly when they were talking about KPJ and then Jaylen and how they mentioned the concept of spacing and how as a group, spacing was so important. Now, when you go back and look at the lineups, especially towards the end of the season, Jackson, what do you remember? Where did Jayshon play towards the end of the season when Jaylen and KPJ were playing well? And I know you recall this. He was playing more at the four, right? And so I think from a spacing concept offensively, it makes a lot of sense. If you go back and listen to the whole audio, just the whole hour-long audio, you'll also kind of pick up on something that Steven is talking about. And I think you have to rely on your ball handlers whenever you're making decisions or distinctions on what positions or what players, because your ball handlers are the ones who are creating the offense. And it's hard to be able to create an offense when you don't necessarily have the best spacing in there. And so I think that's going to be interesting for me moving forward. So this whole question of, is Eric Gordon starting or Jayshon Tate? You know, odds are, and frankly, I'm very confident that Eric Gordon will be the one starting to start the season at that three. And then you may have Jabari or Alperen Şengün at the four and Jayshon coming off the bench. But another thing that I want to highlight that Steven said, and I'm going to quote it for everybody listening, we got four guys who could play the center, and we got four guys who could play the four. And Steven went on to say that that's going to be a lot of competitions and that guys won't be gifted minutes. That's a key thing for him to say. A lot of young guys who are coming in trying to take away the minutes from the veterans. Nobody's going to be gifted any minutes. They have to be able to come in here and, you know, work on getting the playing time that they desperately want. And so for me, that was a really big part of it, that he acknowledges they have a lot of really talented players there. So let's see over training camp and over the course of the season what's going to happen. I mean, what do you think, Jackson? I mean, I think it's I understand where you're coming from. But do you really feel like that Jayshon, with the way the Rockets want to play and their spacing, unless he's shooting 35 to 40% from three, is he a three or a four in this offense the way they're constructed?
I think he is arguably because of the shot, right? Or you know, the lack of a shot, if you will. I think it does make him a four within this offense. And I do think that unfortunately right now we're not privy to, other than the reports that we've had, you know, coming out here and there from, you know, Kelly Eco, of course, talking about, you know, Jayshon Tate's shot looks incredible this summer, all of that. You know, if that's truly the case, if Jayshon Tate is, you know, shooting 35 plus from behind the 3-point line, then I think, yeah, he can be a legitimate NBA wing and you can play him at his more natural position of the three. What I am curious though, is within the confines of that being the structure of the Rockets system, where they like to play guys, and if Jayshon Tate is going to be a four within this Rockets offense, one, that does limit the amount of minutes that he's effectively going to be able to get playing behind guys like Jabari, small ball five behind Alper and Şengün, it kind of brings to question or brings to light who is going to be the backup three, if you will, behind Eric Gordon if he's the starter. And it kind of brings me back to a point that I want to bring up from Ab Spolin of 610 Sports Radio, who had an exclusive interview with Steven Silas back during Summer League that I want to talk about here in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news for every single league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. Right now, you can take a look at BetOnline to see who the odds on favorites are to win the title this upcoming season in the NBA. You got the Boston Celtics at plus 400, the number one overall favorites. Right behind them, you got the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 550, the Golden State Warriors at plus 700. And then rounding out the top five, you got the LA Clippers at plus 750 and the Phoenix Suns at plus 1000, holding it down in spot number five. So for all of that and more odds, head over to BetOnline today to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Of course, joined by our once weekly co-host, Alikhan Bijani. Now, Alikhan, the interview that I'm referencing from Adam Spolin of 610 Sports Radio, he had an exclusive with Steven Silas. And in that interview, there was a moment where when asked about kind of the plans for the lineup moving forward, things that, you know, Steven Silas was thinking about, he wanted to do. And I'm paraphrasing here because it's been a minute since I actually heard the interview verbatim. But the takeaway that I had from it and the takeaway that a lot of people had from it was the idea that Steven was kind of attached to the notion, at least at the time, of anchoring, you know, Jayshon Tate and Alperen Şengün together, because as we saw at the end of last season, there were a lot of times that teams would deploy their center defensively on Jayshon Tate because of his lack of shooting. And a big reason for that was because Christian Wood was not able to punish opposing smaller players, wings, whatever, for guarding him because he couldn't take them down low and abuse them the same way that realistically Alperen Şengün should be able to do with his polished post game. The fact that he's a much more comfortable post player than Christian Wood is. And so I was really intrigued by that idea that Steven Silas seemed to have at that point in time of having Alpi and Jayshon kind of mirror each other's minutes or at least be attached to each other in the lineups, in these rotations, because then it forces the opposing team to put their center on Alperen Şengün from a defensive perspective, or if they do try to get away with stationing their center on Jayshon Tate because of the lack of a three ball, because of the lack of spacing, then it allows Alperen Şengün the opportunity to punish smaller, weaker players on the interior, which, again, I think a big part of what I'm looking forward to this season is seeing Alpi take a more center role, a bigger role within the offense, at least bigger than what he had last year, being that force kind of coming off the bench. He got a lot of touches last year, but he wasn't necessarily, I guess it's not fair to say he wasn't a focal point of the offense, but being a starter and being a focal point of the offense is a little bit different than coming off the bench and being a focal point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think when it comes down to Jayshon, you know, you have a guy who you realistically can play in any role. And we talked about this a few weeks ago when we're looking at the Rockets offense, that wing or that four or five position. And it was, in fact, last week as well with Tari East in our episode with Tari, where you can kind of fit in guys and allow them to be able to play and cover up any holes or issues that you may have with the specific lineup. I think JT gives you that, right? Jayshon allows you an opportunity to be flexible and do separate things. One thing I'm really eager to see with Jayshon is how well he does as a passer. He's talked about the fact that he's working with Draymond Green this summer when it comes to his passing and ability to make reads. He thinks he can be an elite passer. To me, no matter if he's playing the four or the three, no matter where we want to insert him in the lineup, I think it's going to come down to him. Can he be a playmaker? Because we know he can finish. We know really well, you know, how well he can use that left hand when he's around the paint. For me, it's going to come down to when teams are starting to take that away, when they're stepping into that left side or taking with that left hand, what is he going to do in terms of making that pass? And if he can make that pass and then also knock on that corner three, I don't think, you know, this whole conversation we're having about the certain position, it's not going to matter, because at that point, you'll have Jayshon who can pass. You have KPJ who's improved significantly. And if you go back, and I know there's this whole conversation going around you know, amongst ourselves, Jackson, and also amongst Rockets Twitter, Reddit, you know, social media as well, about being able to look at the last like several games of the season, these last few games where Kevin Porter Jr. played well with Jalen Green. I think when you look at that, that's because Kevin Porter Jr. was able to showcase that passing. So then you have KPJ, you got Jay Sean, you got Al P, you know, who's going to be starting at the five. You got three, you know, and I wouldn't say elite level, but you have some three very good passers on the court at all times who can keep the ball moving. And the way that Steven Silas wants to play in terms of moving it north to south, moving it fast, and then moving it side to side to be able to get a good shot, that's going to open up the offense a lot. So for me, I think Jay Sean is going to be that guy who can really allow you to plug in some holes that you may have. I think we'll see times with him at the three, especially, you know, situations where they have Jabari and Alpi playing well together. We'll see some time with him at the four when you have Tari potentially in there, or KJ Martin and another to five as well. Would it could be Bruno, could be Boban in spot minutes, and Okunobi, Usman Garuba. So it'll be very situational, but I think the one fundamental key is, and that's why I think the key word Steven Silas used was mix and match, because truly with Jay Sean Tate, the way he plays and his different skills and the assets he provides you on offense, you can truly mix and match him wherever you put him on the floor.
Yeah, you throw, and that's one of the benefits to having, and it's not just Jay Sean, honestly, on this Rockets roster, because it feels like they've got a handful of those kind of really versatile wings where you can deploy them. And at least from a defensive perspective, they're able to match up across multiple positions, and then offensively giving you, you know, different levels of versatility. But you look at Jay Sean and what we know that he can do. You look at Tari and what he projects to be able to do. On the point about JT's passing, though, you know, I do think that was the area that I was a little bit, if I had to pinpoint a spot that I was most disappointed by this past season in Jay Sean, it was that it felt like he took that his passing kind of regressed a little bit. And I don't know if that was a directive from the coaching staff and them wanting him to be more aggressive in finding his shots and finding his opportunities to score at the rim and, you know, drive into the defense, things like that. But it felt like a drop off compared to his rookie season, where it really felt like his rookie year, he was like a point forward. Like, it felt like he was out there facilitating. If you'll remember his very first game as a starter in the aftermath of the James Harden trade, I think he dropped 10 assists, and it was like, oh, he can do this. Like, he can play make like on the regular. Like, this isn't just like a, you know, a fluke. This is, he's capable. He has the vision. He can, you know, break down a defense, get inside. And then he's good at seeing, you know, where the other man is, kicking the ball out, those little moments like that. And so that's the part of his game that I really want to see kind of come back and be maybe the focal point of his game, is being that facilitator. And that brings the question, is he better as that type of a facilitator in the Rockets starting lineup alongside those other facilitators in KPJ, Alper, and Şengün, and really getting an offense that's moving the basketball really, really well all over the floor? Or would he be better served kind of anchoring that second unit as maybe not the primary facilitator, but somebody that you can feel comfortable with kind of as that veteran presence to anchor that second unit, so that it's not just all on, you know, a Dacian Nix or a Ty Washington out there on the floor when you've got your two dynamic backcourt guards sitting down and maybe Alper and Şengün is resting as well. I think that's the really big, interesting part is we really don't know. We can project, right? Who are the starters going to be? Who's the fifth starter? Whether it's EG, whether it's Jay Sean. I'm so curious, Ali Khan, to see how Steven Silas balances his substitutions and his overall rotations, right? Does he stagger KPJ and Jalen Green so that they have time, you know, by themselves on the floor? Does he maybe pull Alper and Şengün early so that he can be the focal point of that second unit and kind of be that central offensive hub for the guys on the bench when the guards are taking, you know, taking a breather? And my last argument for Jay Sean Tate in favor of being the starter over Eric Gordon, it's a couple points. It's a two-pronged argument, I guess. EG has come off the bench before, right? He's accustomed to it. He's been in that sixth-man role before. And there's very much a distinct mentality you have to have when coming off the bench, right? You have to change your approach to the game a little bit. Eric Gordon's talked about that before, about adjusting to that sixth-man role. So he has the experience doing that and knows how to do it well. And then conversely, we've also never seen, except for a couple rare occurrences here and there, I think it's maybe like four or five games total, Jay Sean Tate has been a starter for Steven Silas across two whole years now. And it would be pretty shocking to me to see him suddenly change that dynamic and move him to the bench in favor of Eric Gordon, who is, I know he's the veteran, right? But you know, has long-term question marks about his future within the organization?
So I'm going to leave two questions for Rockets fans who are listening. First, and just, or not more so a question, more food for thought. Do you think Jabari Smith should be starting? Because if you think Jabari Smith should be starting, then ultimately either one of Jalen or, sorry, not Jalen, sorry, Jayshon or Eric Gordon needs to come off the bench. And just the base off the way that Jalen Green plays and how well he plays when he has spacing. And so, and as well with KPJ, especially because KPJ is such a great catch and shoot player. When you have KPJ and Eric Gordon flanking the wings, gives Jalen all that space to be able to attack. Is Jayshon going to provide you enough spacing to merit him playing in the starting lineup if he is a three? I think ultimately that is the question, because you obviously hear how highly Stephen Silas speaks of Jabari Smith. And the key thing about Stephen Silas is every time you've heard him talk about Jabari, there's one little anecdote he always mentions. Oh, how Jabari is always somebody who you know, he puts in a lot of effort and the mindset defensively that he has. I think that mindset part of it is a big part of every Jabari answer that Stephen Silas gives. And if that's the case, you can make an argument just based off that. You know, I mean, obviously we're not in training camp yet, but just based off that argument, you can make the case that he's going to be starting alongside Alper and Şengün. So if that's the case, Eric Gordon or Jayshon Tate, who would you rather have as a starter? I just want Rockets fans to be able to think about this, because ultimately you have already seen it, especially when KPJ and Jalen were playing together. The Rockets play well when you give their offense spacing to be able to attack. And not saying that that can't happen with Jayshon playing, but you have to be able to have that configuration of that mix and match of who truly is going to be your four and a five. And at that point, who will be your three? I think right now, just based off the spacing, if I was making an answer based off the spacing, I would go with Eric in the starting lineup. But I 100% agree. Jayshon clearly starts for a reason. Stephen Silas has a lot of trust in him. He makes a lot of right decisions defensively. He's a big glue there. Offensively, he's a big part of it. Now the passing is going to be able to help him. And Stephen wants to play fast. And where Jayshon has his highest assist percentage in offense is in transition. He's one of the highest assist. He has actually one of the highest assist percentages on the team amongst all their players when it comes to transition offense, because he moves the ball and he gets it going. So I think ultimately, you know, it's going to have to come down to the shooting for me. And if what does Stephen Silas want more? Does he want to emphasize more on the defense, or does he want to continue to provide that spacing for his two great ball handlers to be able to attack?
Coming up, final thoughts on kind of expectations going into this next season, about what we're hoping to see from Stephen Silas and the Houston Rockets, as well as a couple takeaways from the little pickup games that we've seen Jalen Green, Josh Christopher kind of participating in as of late. We're going to get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Free and available on all podcast platforms, including YouTube, where you can help the show out a ton. Go to YouTube, comment on the show. Remember, for the house, for the team, for the algorithm. Go comment on YouTube. I sincerely appreciate it. Now, Ali Khan, this is a question
for the team, for the algorithm.
Yo, Daniel House just dropped a new album too. It just came out like a few days ago. Go check it out. I'm not gonna put the link in the description.
Did you become Daniel House's spokesperson overnight? What's going on here, man? He giving you a part of that biannual exception?
Look.
Is it good music? That's what I want to know. Is it good music?
I've only heard a couple songs on it. So far, the songs have been all right. The ones that I've heard have been solid. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I checked out a couple songs. I hadn't had a chance to listen to the whole thing yet, but I won't be including a link to it in the description. I don't want to get people mixed up with the other
how
link.
Much,
so.
How much for the house, for the team did you hear in those few songs?
A couple times. It's definitely there. So
is this number four? Is this number four in Philly? That'll be a really interesting question.
I actually don't think his number is four in Philly. I could be wrong. I think, you know what? We're not going to look that up in the middle of the show. I'll have to look it up afterwards, but...
For the Jalen, for the Green, is that going to happen now? Are we going to move to more for the Jalen, for the Green? Now, I got to think.
Oh man! All right. Back on track here. You know, it's tradition that we derail the show at some point. Ali Khan, a big question for a lot of Rockets fans coming into the season. I think personally, when asked about it, I think this year is absolutely the two guys who have the most riding on this year are
Jackson
Kevin Porter Jr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, no, sorry. You're right. Absolutely me. Number one, for sure. My bad. I'm top three and I'm not one. I'm not two or three, but Kevin Porter Jr. for sure. Right. There's a lot riding on the outcome of this season for him.
Contract. Yeah.
contract, how well he plays, right? Is he, can he prove himself? Can he cement himself as
a starter?
Can he
be a starter in this league? That's also a big question mark. Yeah.
A permanent starter, right? Next to Jalen Green. Is he the optimal complementary piece to Jalen Green? But the other side of that is Steven Silas. I think this is a big year for Steven Silas. I think that the first year of Steven Silas's tenure was the transitional year, right? You can't, it's hard to evaluate and have legitimate takeaways from that season because of everything he was dealt with, the COVID season, James Harden leaving, all of that. Then the following year was truly the first year of the rebuild, right? He gets a young crop of rookies, and even then he's still balancing like the veterans on the roster. What do you do with Christian Wood? Kevin Porter Jr. is, you know, learning the point guard position, bringing along Jalen Green. Like there was a lot that he had to balance with, you know, last season, a lot of variables at play. So I think this is the first year. He's going to have some, you know, some new rookies this year, obviously, but I think they're a bit more ready-made rookies this season than what he got the crop of last season's rookies, who kind of needed a little bit more refinement at the NBA level. It's not a knock on Jalen Green or Josh Christopher or anything. I just think Jabari and Tari are a bit more ready to jump in and be effective at the NBA level, given their skill sets, the way that they play, all of that. So my question to you, Ali Khan, is what does a good year look like for Steven Silas in your eyes?
So for me, it's going to come down to player development, honestly. And what I mean by that is, so I'm going to go back and reference the interview that we've been talking about the last few segments that Steven Silas did with Matt. And one of the concepts he talked about was technique. Talk about defensive technique on closeouts. And why am I picking on that? I'll get to a point, but I want to first bring up the context of that. Then I'll get to what it means for Steven Silas this season. He talked about how last year, you know, the technique was not bad, or like in terms of closing out technique. And for those of you listening and from a film perspective, why closing out technique is important, because you can close out hard, which means that you're trying to take away the shot entirely, the 3-point shot. You can close out short, which means that you're kind of daring them, you know, a little bit to shoot the ball, or you can close out with great technique and just allow and kind of force them to either make the decision of, am I going to drive and attack the closeout, or am I going to shoot, or am I going to pass it? What's going to happen? Technique is important. You want to be able to play the dominant foot. You want to be able to play the dominant hand. You want to be able to play shooting percentages. All that comes down to it, but your technique is important in that sense. What Steven Silas said was last year was more about having players in the right spots defensively. That was where their issues lied with a lot of their problems. It wasn't the technique, it was the spots. And if we look at it from a 3-year progression, first year with some of these young players, we're looking at, you know, and I wouldn't say a lot of these last year players were involved in that in that first year Steven Silas was here. But if we look at it from that perspective, the first season, second season, you're trying to develop NBA techniques, NBA terminology, understanding. That second or third season is when you want to be able to see them pay dividends and not just do the technique, but be able to play within the scheme. And so for me this year, what I count as success is all this hype and all this importance that Steven Silas is playing on putting on defense. We need to see a cohesive enough of a scheme defensively for me to see that, look, it's working. The players not only have good technique, but they're making the right reads and they're in the right spots. We talked about this a little bit with Tari Easton last week. I talked about how NBA defenses are changing. Remember that? How it's going from necessarily not a man-to-man or a zone defense, but it's a hybrid where you're playing gaps where the ball is going to be on the court. You're trying to take away those lanes or gaps where the ball is going to be passed or dribbled through. And the Rockets, if you have good technique and you ideally can start making good reads, then your defense will vault from where it was in the bottom tier to potentially a mid-tier team defensively. And that to me is ultimate success, because that's showing me that these kids are learning and they're able to put together a scheme that's dependent on them. We've talked about it. They are tailoring this scheme to their best players. Alperen Şengün right now is a good drop big in terms of being able to, you know, not be on the perimeter too much, right? You want him to be able to be a good, he's a good shot blocker. He actually is. And you want him to be able to,
he's got great timing. So
yeah. So that's one. Second, you have a guy like KPJ, who's actually, you know, to his credit, he's good whenever he's in one-on-one situations or he's having to kind of fight and stay with one specific man. You have Jalen Green, who's actually so slender, but now that he's added more muscle into his core, he can still stay and take away a brush from an offensive player and stay around screens. They are tailoring this defense to their young players. And to me, it's about the jump. Can they go to the mid-tier? Not only mid-tier, but can they show me, not technique, Can they be in the right spots defensively? Are we seeing the right rotation? It's enough to say that your defense wants you to be able to crash down from the corner and take away a layup or a lob from the paint and give up all those paint points. But show me you're going to be in the right position and do it for not just one possession, but two, three, four possessions in a row. Ultimately, that's it. You're not expecting playoffs from this team. There's a lot of great teams in the Western Conference. What you are expecting is growth, and growth just based off of playing together cohesively defensively.
Yeah, eloquently put. You know, I've had a lot of people, and I see this kind of being brought up as a recurring topic of how do you evaluate Steven Silas if not on the basis of wins? And I do think you very much still have to look at things through a developmental perspective. But very specifically, I think that's why it feels like the organization is trying to hang their hat on their defensive approach, especially this upcoming season, because that's the thing that ultimately wins you championships, right? You hear that old adage all the time: defense wins championship, defense wins titles, whatever. If they can build a cohesive defensive identity, which again, I think the skill sets that you have in Jabari and Tari lend themselves to be a little bit more ready to make that jump a little bit quicker than some of the guys that they brought in last year, like Jalen, like Alp, like Josh, who have the tools to be good defenders, but needed to kind of become a little bit more accustomed to the scheme, get used to playing defense at an NBA level. I think that Tari and Jabari have a bit more of the instincts and some of the wherewithal to be a little bit more effective on that side of the floor, at least right away. They're still going to make mistakes. They're still going to have some rookie learning curves as well. It's bound to happen with any group. But you know, seeing this team take that next step from a defensive perspective is what I want to see this year. I'm not expecting them to be like a top 10 defense. You need to temper your expectations if you think that's within the realm of possibility at this point. I'm expecting growth, right? If they, come out the gate, be, 20 to 25 defensively, 20 to 30, whatever, and then see that grow as the season progresses, right? My benchmark is I want to see them be at least in the top 15 of defenses by the end of the year.
And I think that's a realistic expectation.
Yeah. So
one last thing I wanted to just be able to say on this point, and I know a lot of fans listening love Gerald Green, hometown favorite. One thing Gerald Green always used to say is that rebounds are a big part of championship runs. You have to be able to win the rebounding battle. If you win the rebounding battle, you give yourself a good shot. And defense is a lot about defensive rebounds. If you don't allow a team to get in the paint, there's a good chance they're going to miss and you get the rebound out of it. Low percentage shots equal more rebounds, equal possibly winning the rebounding battle and getting more possessions for your offense. That's a high power offense. And their offense, we already know, was good. They can be good, can just be good defensively. And to me, that's the name of the game for Steven Silas.
And just by, having Alperen Şengün and Jabari Smith out there, you're upgrading your front court so much that I'm expecting them to be a significantly better rebounding team this season than they were last season. So those possessions where they do play a solid 18 to 20 something seconds of defense, and right, you think about the number of times they gave up second chance opportunities to opposing teams, you minimize those, right? If you can force the miss, you have to end the possession with a strong defensive rebound to then give yourself a chance to play in transition, right? To get to your strengths offensively before the opposing team is set. So I'm really looking forward to that from those two guys specifically. That's going to clean up a lot, just having a lot more size in the Rockets front court from the opening tip of the season. Now, Ali Khan, we've seen a handful of clips, some footage of Jalen Green, Josh Christopher from the JG4 camp out in Fresno, some highlight reel looking plays. I will say that Swish Cultures, who cropped together some of the footage that we saw, managed to crop what looked like an impressive Jalen Green drive. And then at the very end, Jalen completely whiffed on the dunk, which was a little funny. What have you kind of noticed or picked up on from a few of these clips that have been circulating?
So, Steven Silas talked about it this summer, but Jalen's added weight. And what I mean by weight is not noticeable weight, but weight in terms of muscle. And so he has a deeper range on a shot. You can tell. His shot is more fluid. You can tell. I think the best example is if you go back, for those watching us on YouTube or listening to us, go to YouTube and search that Swish Cultures video. Look up Jalen Green, summer run, whatever it is, and find that video and watch it. Watch that step back. He had a couple step backs he hit from three on the right side.
They seemed almost effortless, right? Where he gets into it and just elevates, and it looks so pure. It looks very different kind of than the jumper from last season, where part of it felt like too, especially last season, his jumpers, he got so much elevation on his jumpers. And maybe it's just because it was, a pickup game, whatever. He wasn't taking it, as serious, but it looked impressive for sure.
And that's where getting that's what getting stronger does to you. You are just more quick and decisive. You know, you can just tell from his arms. He has bigger shoulders now too. That range is really important to me, because now it's not just he has to lean into a shot or lean into the 3-point line. He can get to a spot anywhere along the perimeter, and it looks good. And he's getting to it quick. There's no like hitch. There's no like added movement that will make the shot longer than it needs to be. That's credit to John Lucas, and that's credit to Jalen over his last year for fixing that shot from where he came as a rookie to where he is now. He just looks great. I'm really excited to see him in more pick and rolls. But I think that, to me, is where he's going to stand out. I can already tell he's worked on how to be able to attack switches. Last year, he loved driving right. And I can tell from the pickup, a lot of his drives were going right. He still loves driving right. But I think what's key for him now is, okay, I have a switch. You're a big guy on me. Let me go by you. And instead of me getting contact and falling back, let me take the bump and draw the foul and put the shot up. I think we're going to see more free throw attempts per game for Jalen Green this season. I think we're going to see him a lot more confident in a step back shot, and we'll be able to go from there. I'm not just getting this from a couple summer league or summer highlights. I'm getting this from the fact that if you look at his physique and his body, he's clearly added muscle where he needs to, and he's still growing. His shoulders, he has a nice frame he can continue to add to. Give him 3 to 4 to 5 more years, and when he's at his top shape that he's going to be in his career, watch out, because he's going to be able to do a lot of great things offensively.
And of course, it's going to be phenomenal to watch him taking those strides here as a Houston Rocket, hopefully for, you know, his entire career. We'll see how all that plays out. But, you know, potential future Houston Rockets GOAT here, Jalen Green. Alicon, you know the drill.
Jalen for the green.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we're not making that a thing. Stop. You know the drill. Go ahead and let everybody know where to track you down at.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Rockets_insider. Make sure you're following us here on Locked On Rockets on Twitter, Instagram, especially everywhere. Follow us, you know, join in on conversation. If you guys have been listening to the podcast, come on to YouTube, comment on the video. We've been chatting with a lot of the listeners here as well. So we want to make this engaging. Twitter, reach out to us. Let's have a conversation. Let's go from there. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be engaging. Let's talk some good Rockets basketball.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Also, be sure to check out Rockets Film Room on YouTube. There will be a link in the description. Go crank out the subs for Rockets Film Room on YouTube. Help out our guy, Alicon. We want to get that channel up to 1,000 subscribers. I'm not sure how far off we are now, but be sure to go check that out. But as always, thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you haven't done so yet, consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.